Hi, friend, and welcome to the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a place for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a business that integrates into your life instead of taking over it. So let me ask you something. How would it feel to unapologetically chase your definition of success? See, I'm on a mission to do this, and I want you to come along with me in becoming an unapologetic entrepreneur. This is someone who has defined success on their terms and is committed to setting boundaries and making progress towards achieving that success. I'm your host, Amanda McKinney, and after several years of entrepreneurship, I found myself chasing someone else's definition of success, and I actually couldn't answer the question, what does success look like for you, Amanda? This started me on a journey to understanding this answer for myself, and I now understand that our definition of success, it evolves over time. But the key is to always know what our definition is in each season of our life. And on this podcast, I am dedicated to exploring how other entrepreneurs have shown up unapologetically and sharing my journey, of course, too. So pop in those earbuds so we can explore topics such as success, goals, mindset, of course, marketing, and money. You will walk away inspired through stories and ready to take action through clearly defined steps. So let's dig in. Hi, friend. As someone who has struggled with this topic so many times on my own, as well as being on coaching sessions with people who have struggled with this as well, I am beyond thrilled to bring this episode to you today. Today, we're talking about finding your purpose, understanding your desire, and figuring out what you really, really want. And as silly as it sounds, it's actually really hard for us to be honest about what we truly want. Maybe sometimes we feel greedy because we want more money. Sometimes we feel like a slacker because we actually want to work less. But a lot of the time, we simply aren't sure what we want. We fall into daily routines and habits, and if someone stopped you in the middle of the day and said they could wave their magic wand and make your dream become a reality, you actually couldn't say with confidence what you truly want. There are likely many reasons for this, and all of which I am not even closely qualified to dissect, but I know it happens because it's happened to me and so many people that I coach. And this actually happened to my guest today in a very interesting way. See, she was in a very successful job, of which many people would be very envious of, and she found herself asking, "What if there's more?" This question led her to eventually quitting her top-level executive job, and after some time to actually pause, she started her own company and now helps other people discover their true desires so that they can live happier and more fulfilled lives. So I can't wait to tell you about her. My guest today is Tracy Schubert Barrett. She is a best-selling author, an international speaker, a business owner, a podcast host, and she is the president and founder of Navigate the Journey. That's the business consulting firm that she started, where she comes alongside entrepreneurial companies, helping them scale their business and build healthy teams and leaders. She was also one of the founders of the wildly popular and my favorite national cable television network, HGTV. She enjoyed the amazing ride of taking an idea and turning it into a billion-dollar media empire. She spent over 20 years in the television industry before taking the leap to create her own path. She writes about this journey in her new book, What If There's More? Finding Significance Beyond Success. So if you've been around for a while, you know I love a good home reno show. So to be able to talk to someone who was a founding employee at HGTV was a dream. And of course, I had tons of questions. But even more than her time at HGTV, which I was truly captivated by, I really also enjoyed how she breaks down some very simple questions to help you uncover what you truly want. Now, unfortunately, we were only able to scratch the surface of this topic today, but I have some very exciting news for you. So after I got off this call, I asked Tracy if she would be a guest expert, and she said yes. So she is a guest expert in my upcoming live program called Beyond Goals, Resilient Business Planning. This is a multi-session event that's taking place very soon, October 18th, 20th, and 23rd. Now, it's not all day. It's only 2 hours during your day. I know you're busy. But during these sessions, you'll learn the last planning system you'll ever need. I know that's a bold statement I'm making right now, but I promise you it really works. I'm sharing exactly how I plan and actually follow through with the plans, even when life throws me curveballs. We are not talking about creating a plan that's great on paper but doesn't translate into real life. I'm sharing how bumpy my road has been and how somehow, even through all the bumps, I've been able to accomplish and stay consistent with goals that I've set, and everyone has asked me how I've done it. Now, I am great with the implementation, and I know that is where I can help you. But the dreaming part, that is not my area of expertise, but it is for Tracy. So I'm bringing Tracy in, and she is actually hosting a live pre-event session next week on Tuesday, October 10th. And anyone who's registered for the full event can join us live. And of course, the replay will be available too. So we're going to go even deeper on all the topics we talk about today, and she's going to really help you uncover what you want. And my question for her was, can you queue it up so where anyone who attends your session is ready and understands exactly what they want so I can help them implement? So that's what we're going into that session with. Now, all you have to do to register for the event is go to amandamckinney.com/2024, that's 2024, and grab your ticket to the event. Then you can join us live or catch the replays. And if you happen to be hearing this after October 2023, don't worry, there will be a DIY version available after the live session. Okay, let's jump in and hear from Tracy. Thank you so much for being here today. I am thrilled to be talking to you.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, I love it so much. So I just can't even help myself. I'm going to go ahead and hold it up because I am so excited about having your book in my hands. But there's tons of things I want to talk to you about today. However, the first thing I want to ask you is about how you stumbled into entrepreneurship. Because as you know, my audience, that is exactly how they feel, is that whatever they were doing before, they somehow stumbled into entrepreneurship through one way or the other. And you have a very unique and awesome story that I would love for you to share.
Well, it's been a long journey. So I've been in business, in the business world, I should say, for over 30 years now. So I started out in more of a corporate environment. But what was interesting about my journey is that my, you know, entree into corporate America, or at least where I spent a couple of decades, was through a startup. You know, so I was part of the founding team for HGTV, Home Garden Television. And, you know, what's fun, I think, for entrepreneurs and helpful for entrepreneurs to hear is that it was a startup just like any other startup. You know, there were a lot of odds against us. It was starting something from scratch. It was building a team. It was coming up with a mission and vision. It was really building a company. And when you're part of a startup, everybody has to have that entrepreneurial spirit and really needs to understand that, you know, we have all the best intentions and hopes that this is going to succeed, but it could fail. And so I think that feeling is something that so many entrepreneurs can resonate with. And our journey with HGTV, you know, when you're trying to get an idea off the ground, you're basically building and selling something that doesn't yet exist, you know? So, you know, we were trying to find programming or create programming. We were trying to get distribution on cable networks, our cable operators, and we were trying to get advertisers to advertise on something that wasn't yet on television. And cable was like the Wild West. It was much like internet is today. So you probably talk to a lot of like digital creators and people who are starting online companies or companies that are very much supported in the online universe. And for HGTV, it was, you know, cable television was that arena because this is before the internet existed. And so we were launching, there were probably about 25 other cable networks that launched when we did in 1994, and only two of them survived. So,
oh my gosh.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? And there's countless other cable networks and startups that didn't survive. And so we know that when we talk to entrepreneurs every day that there are so many entrepreneurs that have stories of companies that didn't work out for them in the past. And it takes a tremendous amount of courage and perseverance and teamwork, you know, to really get a company off the ground. And I think, you know, HGTV, I always say, was the best entrepreneurial training ground I could have ever had and really set me up for Navigate the Journey, which is the company that we founded and I co-own with my husband and business partner. And I think going through all those years of starting HGTV helped me and prepared me for Navigate the Journey and definitely gave me a leg up. But just like any other company, you know, it's a lot of hard work and you build it one client at a time and you just have to take it one day at a time. And you have to fight the imposter syndrome and fight the naysayers and fight the, you know, this is too hard for what it's worth, all of that to get through, to get to a level of stability and success.
Oh my gosh. All I can think about, I feel like I have a million questions about HGTV right now because a lot of people that know me personally know that that is the channel that I watch most. I feel like I love home shows. Mm-hmm. Like I cannot help myself but to love them. And I end up using the analogies. It's inside my book. I use the analogy of thinking about it from a business standpoint all the time. And I say like what we do in our business all the time is just like a home reno show. Mm-hmm. You know, you have this dream, you have this idea, you talk to someone else and you come up with this plan and then it has to become a disaster before mm-hmm. it gets better. Like yeah. the demo has to happen. All of that has to happen. So anyways, my mind is just so excited to talk to you today. But I love what you said of like HGTV being a startup because I am today years old before thinking about this. All I have seen is HGTV as a huge, I think it's huge, right? I just think, gosh, they have it all together, which I'm bringing this up because we do this all the time as entrepreneurs. I can look at someone else and say, gosh, she's got it all together. I look at Tracy, you know, your website, and I'm looking at your website. Oh my gosh, which by the way, it is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have this perception that everyone has it all together. And the fact that you're saying HGTV did not at the very beginning, it was just one day at a time, is pretty remarkable to think about. And so you don't have to answer any question you don't want to about HGTV, by the way. I'm sure there's some legal things happening in there. But how big was the team when you were on it at the very, very beginning?
The very beginning, I think I was the 25th hire. And when we were building it before it was on the air, that first, you know, in 1994, I think maybe there were like 30 or 40 of us, you know, maybe 50 mm-hmm. by the time we launched at the end of the year. So we're talking, you could fit everybody in a room. And you know, we were, some people were at headquarters building programming, some were, you know, in bigger cities like I was trying to get funding mm-hmm. and trying to get advertisers. And so, you know, it's a small, scrappy group. And it's funny that you bring up like, how you see it today. You know, it's very glossy and shiny and we've been bought and sold a couple of times, you know, in the last several years. But in the beginning, you know, it looked completely different because when you don't have a lot of money, your programming reflects that. And when you're mm-hmm. building something that not yet people can find or, you know, believe in, you know, you are trying to put things together as best you can. And that's very much what entrepreneurs have to do. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we had a lot of naysayers. You know, there were a lot of times I went into pretty big companies trying to pitch something that didn't exist yet and trying to get them to imagine what it was going to be and what it was going to look like and all our big hopes and dreams that we had for it. And having people look at me and say, nobody's going to watch this. Nobody, I remember specifically a man that I was pitching at a very large ad agency to try to get financial support. And he said, nobody's going to watch paint dry and grass grow. It's just not going to happen.
He did not know.
He did not know. And you know, it's just like anything. It was a great idea, but that could have been executed poorly. It could have felt like that. It could have felt like watching paint dry and grass grow, but it didn't. because there were some great masterminds behind the programming and really understanding that it needed to be inspirational. It needed to be, you know, authentic yet entertaining. You needed to learn, it needed to have information. And I think, you know, that mindset that you're building your company, understanding your target audience, understanding what the viewers want, understanding the gaps out in the marketplace, how can you fill that? And there were so many people that wanted to see this type of programming in one location. They wanted it to be all rated G. You know, at a certain point, we were getting kind of sick of, like, you know, just having, you know, news or things getting racy or like soap operas in the background. It was really revolutionary to have something that you could just keep on mm-hmm. all day. And you weren't worried about your kids wandering in or your grandparents wandering in, that it was all rated G and it was all going to be, you know, informational, but you were going to feel good because you were making your home better and you were mm-hmm. seeing other people living in other parts of the country and other parts of the world making their homes, you know, special. And so it's a great idea executed well in understanding all the components that you need to understand as a business owner. What's your mission? What are you going to stay true to? Who's your target audience? What do they want? What's the marketplace look like? Where are the gaps? How can you fill those in? How can you be something that's super valuable to your clients, which in our case were advertisers, you know? And so, you know, I love talking about business and I love talking about building businesses. And I think it's great to look at something. I mean, HGTV, while I was there, it went from non-existent to $1 billion media company. And that's a huge trajectory, right? And happens mm-hmm. over a long period of time. But it's the same core principles as if you own a cupcake shop or if you own an online marketing firm or if you, you know, all of these solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, you know, small teams, big teams, you need to really embrace these, you know, basic ideas around how you build something. And you know, I took those ideas and applied them, you know, to our lives through my book. But I think all of that, the genesis of all of that thinking came from this experience of my career there.
That's fantastic. And I love, and I'm just going to shine a huge light on this in case anyone trailed off at some point and needs to come back and hear this, or they just glossed over it. It is, there are some core things you have to pay attention to. And Tracy, I know because I have stumbled through this myself. I'm sure you have navigated it as well. But I hear this all the time that it's like someone will want to start something, whatever it is, the new shiny thing. Amanda, I want to have an online course, which by the way, I think online courses are great. I always say that. However, the first question I always ask is, who's your audience? What do they need? And how do you solve their problem? How is this going to help them? And Tracy, every time it's like, well, I just want to create this thing about this thing of whatever it is. And I tell this story every single time. I say, I did that. I thought that I could teach people about Instagram at some point, which by the way, I'm not an Instagram teacher. I just had people asking me this question. So I was like, I'll create a course. That course sold like $100. It was awful. It was a huge train wreck compared to anything else in my business. Huge train wreck because I did not know my audience. I did not know what they were struggling with and how I could help them. And so I love that you honed in on this for HGTV. And if I could be a fly on the wall in those initial conversations of like, how did you figure out who your target audience was? So like, what types of actions did you take to, in order to learn about that person?
Yeah, well, a lot of research, you know, I mean, when you are trying to get something like a television network off the ground, you need some pretty good researchers. You need to look at what already exists, which at the time for us was really like syndicated shows like Martha Stewart or Bob Vila. And looking at that and saying, okay, well, what works? Who's watching that? And then also thinking about who are homeowners and what stages of life are they in, right? So, you know, we spent a lot of time thinking about, you know, that dual income, you know, person who's, you know, the couple that's bought a house and they're trying to, you know, make it better. They're trying to make it theirs. They're, you know, and what are the different things that, you know, they're trying to accomplish and what's going to be inspiring to them. So, you know, in the beginning, we had shows all over the place, right? Because when you don't have a lot of budget, you're making shows about quilting and crafts and, you know, planting a vegetable garden. You don't see any of those shows anymore because it was all trial and error. We learned, okay, well, a quilting show, even in early morning, isn't going to, you know, generate a lot of ratings. Although I will say, when we did decide to cancel the quilting show, we were picketed by the quilters.
Right. And those groups of people really wanted it.
They were passionate, yeah. Not a large audience, but passionate, which we love. But, you know, you're really trying to figure out, you know, you're balancing so much, which is like such the entrepreneurial kind of dilemma. Like you're trying to put something out there, but it needs to be able to reach enough people that you're going to generate a rating and therefore you're going to be able to charge for the advertising. So in the beginning, it's, you know, you're trying to create programming with the money you have and get advertisers on those shows. And then it's just, you build it just like you build any other company. So with advertising, we couldn't get huge advertisers like McDonald's or Kellogg's or, you know, PepsiCo on our air because we didn't have big enough ratings. So we went to what we called endemic advertisers. So we went to people like Lowe's or Home Depot or, you know, fertilizer companies or, you know, crafting stores. And we told them, like, you advertise in print magazines like Better Homes and Gardens, in Southern Living or whatever. Can you take some of that budget and advertise on HGTV? Because now you're going to finally have a place where, like, a magazine on television. And that really resonated with those advertisers. And so we were able to build our company with smaller programs, smaller, you know, unknown talent, and, you know, advertisers that were very endemic. And then once we grew, then, of course, you know, the ratings grew. We were able to have more money to develop more programming. We found, you know, very dynamic talent. And, you know, then we were able to grow our advertising dollars. So it just starts just like anything, you know, like when you're an entrepreneur and you're saying, I'm going to take this client, even though it might not be a perfect fit, but I know that I'm going to learn working with them. And I know that, you know, I need to start somewhere and I can't charge what I know I might be worth right now, but I'm going to get there and I'm going to take it one step at a time. So even big companies, you know, that become billion-dollar companies, they start in these very basic first steps, you know, to get the product out there and to get the audience and to get the income and the revenue.
I love that you shared this. Thank you so much. There was so much in that is going to just really strike a chord. I know it is. And I love that you shared, you know, the idea of, okay, this is where we started, of we couldn't get X, so we went for W or whatever. Yeah. We couldn't get Z, so we went for A, you know? Like, we really started down here, but you kept your audience in mind the entire time. And I'm curious how that impacted you. You started to talk about it just there at the end of, as an entrepreneur, you take on a client and you figure it out along the way, kind of like the quilting, which does make me laugh that they picketed up at the end there. Like, there's always going to be someone, and it's great to know they loved it, but it's like, it has to make sense for the numbers. But how did you take that experience of, okay, I can't get this, but this is where I know I want to go, so I got to start at a different point. How did you take that lesson when you started your own company? Because you had to start from zero.
Yeah.
From zero audience, zero clients, all of that.
Yeah. I think, you know, starting our company was very organic. It wasn't like I left HGTV with this intention to start a new company. I hit a crossroads. You know, I'm 20 years into television industry and felt like I was on autopilot, felt like I was, you know, I loved my job. I loved the people I worked with. I loved the company. I was very proud of what it had become. Loved my staff. But I also had an insane amount of responsibility. I was flying all over the country. I had young kids at home. And I felt like nobody was getting the best parts of me. I felt like I really was stretched so thin. And even though as a woman, I had been told, oh, you can have it all. You should have it all. It had kind of turned into, you know, doing it all, being it all, you know, and not feeling like I was living the life that I had full agency and control over. And so I couldn't make sense of that. You know, I started like really getting messed up in my head. I was like, what's the meaning behind work anyway? And like, why, what am I doing here? And is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And, you know, why am I crying when the plane takes off? I miss my kids so much. And so I just felt like I needed a break because I couldn't answer those big questions at this huge company with all of this responsibility. And, you know, my bosses weren't happy. My staff wasn't thrilled. I was terrified what I was doing, but I just felt like it was the right thing. Like, take a leap of faith, try something new, see, you know, my identity had become so wrapped up in HGTV. I didn't even know what I wanted or who I was. I just felt like I had checked off all the boxes and I didn't see any other boxes ahead of me. So what do I do? And so when I left, you know, I still had a lot of people that would reach out to me because obviously you have a lot of friends after that long of a career asking me for advice or coaching. And I had my master's degree in psychology. So, you know, it just kind of came naturally for me to kind of merge my corporate business experience with my psychology degree. And one of my colleagues was like, you need to start doing this like as a living, like you need to coach, you need to, you know, and I was like, really? And I was like, well, I think I'll try. Like I'm obviously have the degree and I have the experience. And so it sort of happened just organically where people from the media industry were reaching out to me and I was coaching them. And then my husband was doing strategic planning and he was like, maybe we should merge our gifts together and create a company. And so we created Navigate the Journey. And really it started with just one coaching client and then the second coaching client. And then he did one strategic plan for one company. And it was like we didn't even understand what the competition was or look at the, you know, for us, it was like, what is the company we want to build? What do we want to look like? What do we love to do? What do we feel like we're gifted to do? What are the services we want to provide? What are the frameworks we love? And can we, you know, just build a business one, you know, account at a time? And that's what happened. And now I look, you know, it's been 9 years and I look at what we built, like this thriving, you know, seven-figure business that we're just so proud of. And we know that, you know, we started it with the right intention, understanding the mission, writing out our core values, you know, really on our terms, what we wanted the vision to be, and then decided, you know what, we're going to stick to this. That doesn't mean we don't tweak and adjust along the way, but we're going to make sure that this is true to who we are and what we want. And I think the level of flexibility and agency that we feel over our company has been great because I think that was something I was missing in corporate America. You know, this was pre-pandemic when I left. And so, you know, it wasn't, you know, oozing with flexibility, let's just say.
It was probably not much at all.
Yeah. So you're definitely, you know, you are needed and that feels good, but it also feels like, wow, I don't have a lot of flexibility. Or it's always in my head or somebody's always needing to get a hold of me. And so I love what we've built. I think, you know, that we had a lot of confidence from our own experiences in the past and our own kind of business acumen going into it. But that didn't make it any less hard, you know.
Right.
And, you know, you still experience the bumps in the roads. You still have to. I think the biggest thing with entrepreneurship is perseverance, is grit. Mm-hmm. You know, you think it's all about smarts and business smarts and all of that, but really it's the grit. It's the, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep building. I'm going to keep doing what I know is my purpose and I'm designed to do. And I think if you can't persevere through, then there's probably, it probably isn't in your gifting. You know, it could be that you had a good idea, but you're just not the person to execute it. And I think, you know, when we come alongside a lot of entrepreneurs, sometimes I think it's just as brave to say, I don't know if this route is for me, just like it was for you when you talked about that online course. It's really brave to say, wait, why am I doing that? Like, is this really what I should be doing? This doesn't feel like it's the perfect fit for me. Is it okay for me to let go of that and pivot in my course, in my career or whatever it is? I think that's so wise and brave to do that.
I completely agree. I have found myself probably in the last 2 years or so saying that more and more often when I'm working with people, because I'll work with people and they'll say, Amanda, I want to grow my business. And so I'll say, okay, let's look under the hood. Let's figure out what's going on. Let's see how we can turn some levers on and get this growth happening. And over 6 months, a year of working together or whatever it is, the growth is not happening because they're not taking the action. And eventually, I just started asking the question, do you really want this? Mm. Do you really want what you're telling me that you want? And sometimes that means, and I often will give that permission of like, some entrepreneurship is not for everyone. Yeah. So if you get down this path, which I think actually happened a lot, like during COVID, people were like, I can start this business on Etsy, or I can do this thing or start this online business, which is phenomenal. So many people expanded their minds of what was possible and challenged what they thought they had to do for the rest of their life. I love it. However, 3 years into this, some people are like, this is not for me, but they're terrified to get out because of feeling like a failure. I don't think it's a failure at all. I think just like you, it is so brave, just as brave as when someone tells me and you that it's like, oh, you left corporate. Now you chose to leave. I got laid off. So my story is slightly different. I did not have that in my own hands, but I did decide to start my own company after that, which was not the original plan, right? And so people tell me all the time, oh, you're so brave. And I was thinking, well, I just think I'm driven. We can call it brave. I didn't know what I was getting into at that point. I do think the more I learn about entrepreneurship, I realize it takes a lot, like you're saying, grit and perseverance, because even when you follow what you really want to do, what you really have a passion for, it's still hard. Mm-hmm. I actually think it's much easier to clock in and clock out at someone else's place of employment.
Yeah. Yes. And I think it's funny because I was just reading an article about this and people starting side hustles and wanting passive income and mainly just wanting something that they think is going to feel easier than, or that they're going to have more control over. And I always say to, you know, the clients that I'm coaching or people who are still in corporate America or working for just a, you know, any sort of mid-sized company, to really think about what it is they feel is missing for them before they leave, before they jump ship. Like, oh, I don't think that corporate America is all bad. You know, no. I think there are some great companies. I was fortunate enough to work for a great company, and I think it fits a lot of people. You know, mm-hmm. It fits more people than entrepreneurship does, or, you know, starting your own company. Because I do think that if you understand who you are and what you want to do and your unique giftings and talents, that you can look at your job differently. You can say, okay, maybe my job is, you know, I'm a UX designer, but really what I'm doing every day is I'm using my creative skill set to reach people and to connect, you know, missions of other companies to the user. And I'm also a connector. And so I am really good at connecting with the people around me and then connecting them to each other. You know, whatever it is that you are able to figure out is your unique gifting and purpose, you can live that out through your job and find meaning through your work that way. And when we start to look at our work differently, then we are able to say, okay, is this company for me? Does this company align with who I am and what I want? And if it does, and it will give me a trajectory and a way to challenge myself and to live out that purpose, then why would I leave, right? Mm-hmm. But if you are innately an entrepreneur and you are just, you are just driven to build and design and you're a visionary and you really want to bring things to life and I can see it in you, then I will bet on you. I'll say, okay, I think it's about time. You've done all the work. You've looked at this at every angle. You have a great idea and you want to learn to be a good leader on top of it. Mm-hmm. It's not just all about launching a product and then eventually selling it for millions, which doesn't happen too often, FYI, people. You still have to put in a lot of hard work. And being an entrepreneur is scary because it all rests on your shoulders, not just your own livelihood, but the livelihood of others. And like you said, failure is not a bad thing. We learn through failure. So if you take a stab at entrepreneurship and it doesn't work out, good for you. You know, you tried and you have to look at it as not failure, but what did I learn from this? And how can I use it to better myself, but also to share with the world so that they can learn from it as well? So the failure is really just a growth opportunity.
I agree wholeheartedly. And I don't know about you, but I've learned so much more from failure. Quote, I say quote unquote, because I don't even think of it as failure anymore. You know, I mean, I said like that course failed, like on paper, 100% that course failed if you just looked at the numbers. However, I learned the most valuable lesson I could probably ever learn in entrepreneurship, which is, Amanda, do not create based on your own idea only. Ever again. I'll never do that again because of how bad it hurt. You know, I felt pretty crappy in that moment. Now, when something succeeds and I hit the goal, oh, that was a great launch. I am terrible. I actually have to have a system in place, which now I have, to make me reflect on why it worked so that I can learn. Because I'll always dig into why it didn't work if it failed. But if it succeeds, I'm not as good. Yeah. I just move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I got to keep trying to hit a bigger goal or whatever it is. And so I have to really hone in on that. So I've learned more from failure than I have from success, but I like them both.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that's great that you look at it not just like, what am I learning from my failures, but what am I learning from my successes? I think that's super wise because you do learn more about your audience when you look at the successes. You know, what, they're telling me something. This is what they wanted. You know, what did I tap into? What was the nerve I hit? You know, so it's great that you're looking at both sides.
Well, that's a really good point. I've never thought about it like this. You learn a lot about your audience through the successes because they're telling you with their money and their actions, right? Mm-hmm. You probably learn more about yourself in the failure.
Yes, that's true.
at least for me, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I don't want to forget to come back to you because it was so beautiful that you said this, that when you and your husband started this company, and you're like, we're going to go and do this thing. And it was one client at a time. And I love that you shared that. And one thing you said is we didn't even look at the competition. We just followed what our passion was and what we wanted to create. I'm paraphrasing there. I love that so much because in my opinion, I think that we, pointing all 10 fingers at myself, that we can get so caught up in looking at who am I competing with? What are they offering? What's the price point of this? What's included in the whatever? Whereas if we can just say, what do I want to create and go find your first five clients, don't even worry about social media and what's going on. Like, I just feel like that is so beautiful.
Yeah, it is hard for entrepreneurs and leaders today because there's so much coming at us from a social media perspective. And you see all these people, you know, trying to amass a platform or followers or whatever it is, and, you know, advertising and promoting and all these things. And there is so much time and energy and money spent on that, that it always makes me wonder who's actually building the business? Mm-hmm. You know, who's actually figuring out the model and the framework and what it is that you're best at in order to serve your clients the best way you possibly can. And I think for us, you know, I mean, 9 years ago, we obviously had the benefit of not having all the social media coming at us where, you know, it was social media existed, but it was very different and it felt very different. There weren't these massive influencers and platforms and people. And, you know, we're also, I can see through different generations the aspects of success that people hold on to, you know. So, you know, for my parents' generation, success to them may have meant like safety and security and being able to provide a home, you know, because they were raised by parents who went through the Depression and wars and that type of thing. And then you, you know, have my generation where success is really, you know, I came up through the, you know, Wall Street, Michael Douglas, greed is good. It's all about how much money you're going to make. And if you can make money, then you are successful and climb the corporate ladder. That was the big, you know, mantra. And I think for the younger generations today, fame is so, the pursuit of fame is like the measurement of success. And it's almost the scariest one of all.
Right.
Because it so messes with your mind. It really distracts you from what you should be working on. And it really messes with your self-esteem. And now, you know, I've had, you know, I have two teenage girls and we've had all these conversations about what's happening in these influencers' lives. And they have a lot of people that they've kind of grown up with that, well, grown up with meaning watched on social media. And then many of them have recently tragically killed themselves. And so we've had to have these really hard conversations of why are these influencers that have millions of followers not happy? And what's happening, and what's happening with the comments and the naysayers and the things going on in their head, and what actually were they pursuing? What was the goal? What did success mean to them? And so I, when I'm coaching, especially younger generations coming up and through, is really getting to them to think about, you know, what is it that you were designed to do? And what does that have to do with any of the metrics you're measuring yourself against? And it's complicated and it's deep, but I think that we have to find a way to pull ourselves out of what's going on in the world right now and in this environment and how we're measuring ourselves as entrepreneurs, as business people, as leaders, as, you know, visionaries, as implementers, all of these things. How are we measuring ourselves? And are those measurements wise?
That was so good. Thank you for sharing all of that. And I really appreciated the call of attention to the different generations and how success is measured. This is something that I can't remember if you and I have talked about this in our connections, but I had quite the moment, which led to my book, that I realized that I was measuring success based on my goal. And I had this moment in a grocery store parking lot that I realized they are not the same thing. But I was saying, I'm not successful if I don't hit my goal. And when I say not successful, it was because I was very close to a financial goal. And my business coach is like, why are you being so mean to yourself for being so close? But just because you didn't hit that specific dollar amount, I mean, you are fraction of a percentage over here of like, you are so close. Why are you being so mean to yourself about this? And I realized, oh my gosh, I'm having this moment of success and goals being different. And then I started to ask myself, what does success feel like for me? Which it sounds like that's what you help so many people with. And by no means am I an expert. I just called myself out saying that I'm just now on the path of understanding what success means for me. And I love that there are people like you that have programs and books and coaching opportunities to help people figure it out. Because as I've started talking about this, it is very hard for people to figure this out. And I think, this is just my personal thought and belief, I think it's hard for us to be honest about it. I think we actually know, but we're not good about being honest because we have so many inputs coming in. And so I'm going to pull us to your book. So what if there's more? So this question is, I bet it's in so many people's minds. Again, they probably don't talk about it, but it's like, what if there's more in my job as an entrepreneur, whatever the case is? And you said something that I'm curious if this would be the first step, is asking what's missing. Is that the first step that you encourage people to navigate?
Yeah, it's one of the questions that I have you ask. It's, you know, what if there is more, is the question I kept asking myself when I was sitting at my desk at HGTV wondering, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Like, what do the future chapters hold? And not just what do they hold, what do I want them to hold? And I think one of the exercises that I love having clients go through is, what are your priorities? Because when I started writing down my priorities, I started to see that I wasn't necessarily serving those priorities.
So can I ask a question about this? Because I'm super tactical with this. I'm like picturing you writing this down, writing down priorities. And immediately my mind went to, did you write down what you were doing, like actually doing, and in your actions told you what your priorities were? Or were you writing down what you said was your priority, even if the action didn't align with it?
Well, it was more, I was more thinking about, what are the most important things in my life? What are the things that I want to prioritize in my life? And then getting even more granular. So if I'm writing my husband, my children, my relationships, my health, my home, you know, if those are the first things, and then I start writing, you know, meaning at work, agency in my life, control over my schedule, right? So I'm writing down all these things that I want, and I want them to be the priorities in my life. I want them to be the things that you know, that are serving me and I'm serving them, right? And when I look at that list, I realized, oh my gosh, this is not how I'm living.
Right.
This is not how I'm living. I'm not living in accordance to this. Right now I'm living in the phrase that you hear all the time in corporate America, which is golden handcuffs, right?
Oh, yeah.
So what my priorities look like right now is my paycheck, you know, my the bottom line for my company, the clients. And these are not bad things. Paychecks are great things and clients are wonderful things. But you need to have balance. You need to be able to create a life that you can have your priorities and in the right order and still be making a living and living out a job with meaning and purpose. Now, when I was at HGTV, I didn't have this framework. I didn't know how to make sense of any of this. And I do say in my book too that had I had a framework or the space to sort of figure all this out and answer the questions that I have in my book, that I may have stayed. I may have been able to say, oh, this is how I need to rearrange this job. Or, oh, maybe I need a different space in this company to operate out of and instead of what I'm doing right now. Maybe it's time for somebody else to take my position and I go do this. Or maybe I've never had this conversation with my bosses about what I want. Maybe they would say, oh, okay, well, you've been here for ages. Why don't we just rearrange this, you know?
We'll give you what you want if you'll stay.
So I didn't have the tools. Now, I also say in my book that if I had had this framework, maybe I would have left sooner. Because I would have known, what am I doing? There's so much out there for me to create and and do and write and build. And I want to do it with my name on it instead of another name on it, you know? So, you know, who knows? We'll never know. But all I know is you need a, like you're saying, you need a framework. You need something practical to wrestle through these questions. But most of all, you need to give yourself the gift and the space to even hit pause, to get off autopilot, hit pause, and ask yourself. So many people aren't asking themselves, what do I want? What do I want? What kind of life do I want to live? And, you know, how do I get there? Basically, if you can just, you don't even have to read my book or do a framework. If you could just hit pause and ask yourself those two questions, I think your life is going to be altered But instead, we live on autopilot. We collect the paycheck, the golden handcuffs, or we just live for our children. Because I've helped so many women who have just been, you know, staying at home and raising these wonderful children and being fabulous mothers. And then the kids go off to college and they crumble because right. Our identity is resting in something. We need to ask ourselves what it is. We're all driven in serving something. We just need to ask ourselves, what is it? And is it the right thing? And what changes do I need to make so that I am living a life that's significant and meaningful and present and awake and engaged?
Gosh, it's so good. I feel like I could talk to you for an entire hour just on that little section. But thank you for sharing so much of what you shared about your story, because I think it helps get to the point of asking these questions, because it shares so much about, I think you have an entrepreneurial spirit, and I think you probably would have left earlier. That's my gut on this, because it's like you got really excited when you talked about it. But asking ourselves what we truly want is so hard. And I think if I were to pick out the piece that I would have needed, really, that I needed to do this, it's the pause button. Because a lot of us are those driven, high-achieving, like you're running on a treadmill. And so I was running on a treadmill. I just happened to be pushed off of mine because I got laid off, right? I had the forced pause that I didn't even know I needed. And when I look back now, I mean, that was a rough day. I should be very clear about that. It was a rough week. It was a rough time. I really took a hit from an ego perspective and confidence hit. But I'm so grateful for that, because I don't know that I would have ever hit pause.
Yeah,
I think the pause would have been a hospital stay. You know, I think it would have been something so detrimental. And so I'm so thankful for it now, not that day, but the pause. And so for anyone listening, whether you're good at pausing or not, it's the pause could be this afternoon. You don't have to quit your job. It's like, what can you do? Take yourself to a coffee shop or go for a weekend in an Airbnb by yourself.
Yeah,
that's remarkable, I think.
Yeah. No, I think that's so helpful for so many people to hear that are experiencing layoffs right now. A lot of companies are doing massive layoffs. So I think your words are a gift to them, you know, to know that it is hard. We affirm the difficultness of that, but embrace the pause. Yeah. Embrace it. Make something out of it.
I mean, it was, I've shared it a few times for sure, but not in a huge podcast episode or like in the depth of it, but it was awful. It felt terrible. And I think about how proud I am of 2017 Amanda, who was brave enough to start the company. And I think it was just like, I just didn't put pressure on it. I was like, I'm just going to see if it works. Cause if not, I'll just go get a job. Like I'm going to have to do something. So I might as well try this thing. And so I went into it a little bit more naive than I probably even think of. But that pause was what did it. I mean, I didn't ever have this dream. Everyone asked me all the time, did you always dream about being a business owner, an entrepreneur? I was like, no, I wanted to climb the corporate ladder. Because like you said, my definition of success was what I saw, right? Yeah. Of like, I want to be that top female executive. Like, I want to be Tracy, right, at HGTV. And so for me to think about starting my own company was just an interesting thing. And it's definitely hard, but it was hard. So thank you for sharing that, of that you think it's helpful. If anyone has been laid off, message me on Instagram. Yeah. We can talk, because I remember that day very well.
That's great.
So where can people find more about you? Of course, buy your amazing book. And here, maybe they want to be coached by you or listen to your podcast. Where can they find you?
So the best place to go is TracySchubertBarrett.com, or follow me on Instagram at Tracy S. Barrett. And anybody who's listening to this podcast, actually, if they follow me on Instagram and DM me Amanda, I will send them a discount code for my course. So if you're wrestling through this and you feel like you really, you know, want to answer these questions and you need a framework and you need a process, then, you know, and you're listening to this, my gift to all of your listeners is, you know, just DM me Amanda. I'll know that's because you listened to this podcast, and I'll send you a discount code and you can consider taking the course, which is touched on in the book, but we go much deeper in the online course. And there's live coaching and lots of that, just so you can really get behind who you are and what you want to do next in life and plan for the next chapters of your life in a more significant and intentional way.
Oh my gosh, Tracy, that's such a great gift. And what a surprise that was. Thank you for doing that for everyone. Everyone, go text or DM Tracy and let her know you listened. I love that so much. Tracy, thank you so much for sharing and for being here today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Gosh, Tracy was so full of wisdom and experience, and I love that she was so open in sharing it with us. So your next step is to uncover your purpose, and I really want you to do this and start asking yourself those important questions that Tracy recommended. What do you want? What truly matters to you? And by taking time to explore these questions, you can begin your journey towards finding that life and uncovering the business and the life that's more fulfilling, intentional, and aligned with your true purpose. And I want you to really listen to Tracy's words when she says, embrace the pause, make something out of it, and create a life that's significant, meaningful, present, awake, and engaged. Her words just continued to ring with me after we had this conversation, and I really want them to continue to ring with you too. So if you want more where that is coming from, which I hope you do, join us live next week. Tracy's going to be teaching us all, including myself, on October 10th, and I'm so excited to learn more from her. And then I will jump in the following week on October 18th, 20th and 23rd with a three-part series where I'm teaching you how to take what you have learned from Tracy and uncover your true purpose, right? You know what you want in your business and in your life. And then we're going to take it and actually create a plan and actually plan for the craziness that life is going to throw your way, because we all know it's going to happen. And for some reason, we create a plan, we think it's going to be perfect, and then it doesn't, and it throws us off track. I have a system. And everyone can laugh at my systems if you want, but they really work. I have a system that really helps you follow through and be flexible. And I am deep diving into this, and that's why it's three complete sessions. So each day it's 2 hours, and you actually have homework in between the days. So it holds you accountable to doing the things that I know will work in your business. And I cannot wait to share this with you. So I hope you'll see us there. All you have to do is go to amandamckinney.com/2024, that's 2024, and register for the event. If you're hearing this after October 2023, just know there's a DIY version that is available for you. You can go to that same URL and you'll see it there. So until next time, give yourself permission to know what you truly desire in this life and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon.